Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord here today? Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so it's just so good to see everybody here today. It's again wonderful to see a few new faces. I know we mostly have a family group here today, but we do have a few new faces. We have visitors all the time, and it's just such an honor to have you. And for our new folks, we want to just let you know that the voice that you heard on the video today, that was not AI or Siri. That was not the British form of Siri. That was Stephanie Hobson's voice, the director. You know, she's been sent all the way from the United Kingdom. Amen. To serve in this church, in this community. Isn't it a blessing? Amen. You know, my wife, you know, she has her phone set. You know, you can change the phone settings and you can make your Siri voice sound any way that you want. And she has chosen the British lady's voice, Siri voice. And so the other day we were traveling to my son's basketball game down in Pennsylvania and we needed, you know, some directions. And so she, you know, gets that up on her phone and the voice is telling me, you know, what way to turn. And I said, how did they get Stephanie Hobson in that phone? It sounds exactly like her, right? Stephanie, you are such a blessing. Those that volunteer in JCR, we thank you. You are such a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, it's also exciting. We've got Reverend Greer meetings coming up. Folks, do not miss that. It'll be life-changing. Amen. And how about we're already announcing the youth camp dates, August 10th through the 14th. You know, I think what we should do next year is that all of us parents, we get to go on a retreat, right? We need a retreat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God here today? Go with me in your Bibles. Go over to John chapter 1. And today I'm going to call this message, God Will Uphold You. Amen. God will uphold you. Now, we're kind of finishing up a series of messages that I've been teaching since the beginning of the year, actually just right before the new year started. And we've been talking about the significance of being in the will of God. And I'm not going to go and review those messages right now. It'll take too much time. Folks, if you've missed any services over the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, go to YouTube, go to our website, get the archives, get caught up. We want to be right in the middle of God's will in 2025. Folks, your life can't afford to be out of God's will. You know, your marriage can't afford to be out of God's will. You know, your kids can't afford it. Your job cannot afford it, right? We want to be right in the middle of God's will. We want to do whatever it takes. Last week, we were talking about rebellion, rejoicing, and rest. And we saw that those Israelites, they got out of God's will. They became very resistant to God's will, very stubborn to God's will. But how many of you know God had good things in store for them? And the Lord told them, you know, that they should have continued in their confidence and rejoicing until the end. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God's got a good end of the matter of whatever that you're facing. But our part is to rejoice all the way to the end. Amen. We don't want to chase God's presence out of our life. And if you're running low on the presence of God in your life, rejoicing will help get that back. Amen. If you missed last week, go back, get that message. It will greatly help you. Today, we're going to talk about how God will uphold you. God will uphold you. And over the next several weeks here, the Lord willing, I'm going to be teaching a series of messages on faith and how to exercise faith. Folks, if you need a change in your life, if something in your life is coming against you, you know, I'm telling you, you're going to get answers for your life by using your faith. Go with me to, in the Word, in your Bible, go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're going to start right there in verse 1. And today, I'm going to be giving you the significance of God's word and why we should be hungry for it, why we should be excited about it, amen, and how God's word upholds us in our part and what we have to do with God's word to make sure that that happens, amen. And so today I'm going to give you at least two ways that God will uphold you and what you have to do to make sure that that's happening in your life. Go to John chapter 1. We're going to start right there in verse 1. I love this passage. I love the first five verses here in the Gospel of John. And let's read it here. John says this, of course, by the Holy Spirit. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Everyone say the Word. Notice the Word is capitalized here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. Or we could say it this way, the Word is God. The Word is not just something that God has. The Word is not just something God has said. The Word is God Himself. God likens Himself to His own Word. You cannot separate Him from His Word. Now let's keep on reading here. We're going to read the passage and then go back and take a look. In verse 2, he says, the same, or the Word, was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made by Him. Notice the Word is now called a Him, because just like we saw in verse 1, the Word is God. All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. That's a huge statement right there. That's a huge statement that we've got to get a hold of, and we're going to talk about it. In verse 4, he says, in Him, or in the Word, is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Boy, there's a lot going on here. How many of you know the rest of chapter 1 tells us who the Word is? Can you drop down there to verse 14 just for the fun of it, just so you know who it's talking about? And it says in verse 14, and the Word, everyone say the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word who was made flesh and lived on this earth for a time. And John, the apostle, he says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what is the Word full of? Grace and truth. What will the Word put into your life? Grace and truth. Amen. Now go up to verse 1. And let's start getting into this. Notice it says, in the beginning was the Word. What does that mean? The term beginning, it doesn't mean that God had a start. It doesn't mean that He, you know, all of a sudden just was, poof, He began. No, the word beginning is just a way that the Bible says that the Word of God is eternal. And so what we're going to do here is I'm going to give you several truths about God's Word, and then we're going to build up into this first point, okay? The first truth that we see here is that God's Word is eternal. That means God's Word always was, God's Word always will be. Amen. The Word is eternal. Now in verse 1, it says that the Word was always with God. All right. So God always had the Word. He never was without the Word. The Word was before this earth ever existed. The Word came before all creation. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we know that the Word is God. The Word will always be God. Amen. And then we get down, drop down to verse 3 now. Look at verse 3, what it said. It says, the Word is a Him. You know, God likens Himself to His Word. If you want to fellowship with God, you got to fellowship with the Word. If you want to know God, you got to know the Word. All right. The Word is the most significant aspect of who God is. Everything God is the Word. Everything God does is the Word. And notice what it says in verse 3, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. What does that mean? Anything that God has done, it's going to be through the Word. Anything God ever will do is only through the Word. The only thing that God can do in your life has got to be through the Word of God. He cannot operate outside his word. He cannot do things beyond it. If anything is yet to be done in your life, it's got to be done through the word of God. Amen. Already, we should start developing a sense of how much we need this. We need this word. It is the life. It is absolutely the most essential part of everything that we have. Now go down to verse 4, and we're just going to kind of talk about this. And then we're going to talk about how God will uphold you. Notice in verse 4, drop down there, it says, in him, the word. Everyone say the word. Whoa, everyone's looking so drum here today. I tell you what, stir yourself up. I tell you what, this word is eternal, and you're going to see what it has done and what it will do in your life. Amen. In the word is life. And this life was and still is the light of men. Notice the Bible says the word contains all life. That word life there in the Greek, and I'm not trying to be a Greek scholar, I can look it up in the same books that you can, right? It is the Greek word zoe, and you know that the word zoe, it means all that God is, all that God possesses. Amen. It is literally the life of God or the power or vitality of God. And so now God has put all that he is, all his life is in his word. This is really, really great news. What does it mean that in the word is life? It means that the word cannot die. It means the word cannot be injured. It means that the word cannot be oppressed. The word cannot be depressed. The word cannot be suppressed. The word cannot be deflated. The word cannot be defeated. It cannot be killed. It cannot be darkened. It cannot be weakened. It doesn't grow old or weak or stale. Oh, glory to God. This word is undefeated. You cannot make it sad. You cannot make it depressed. You cannot. Are you getting a hold of this? This word is uncrushable, unbeatable. It cannot be cheated. It cannot be stolen from. This word is complete life. You cannot crush the word any more than you could crush the Heavenly Father sitting on his throne. Now look at the rest of the verse because it's very important that we understand this word is life because it says, and the life of the word is the what? Light of men. So the life of God in the word is made to be the light of people. The word men here is not referring to the male gender. It's referring to all human beings that will willingly, by faith, receive God's word, act on God's word, speak God's word, obey God's word, amen. And that life, notice this in the scripture, all the life that God is designed to live in the hearts of human beings. We are made to be carriers of the word. We are made to be carriers of all that God is, all of his life, all of the things that makes him unbeatable, undefeatable, you know, cannot be killed, cannot be injured, cannot be destroyed, cannot be, amen. I'll tell you what, if this doesn't get you excited about the word of God, all of a sudden I'm already starting to get the sense this Bible isn't just something I read. This Bible is something that lives in me. I'll tell you what, this Bible reads me way more than I read it. You know what I mean by that? It tells me way, you know what I mean by that? It looks deeper within my heart and my soul, amen, than I could ever look into it. This life that God is and all that he has is designed to live in me and you. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because the word can live and dwell on the inside of you. Hallelujah. The word does not ever wither. The word doesn't weaken. The word only creates life. The word only grows. The word creates health and healing. The word feeds. The word nourishes. The word multiplies. The word provides. There is nothing that God's word cannot do living on the inside of a human being that will believe it, receive it, and speak it boldly with faith. And people say, well, I don't know. That sounds like that word of faith business. Yes, right. The Bible says it's called the word of faith. Because without believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, you would never be born again. There's no help, there's no hope of salvation until you receive God's word and speak it. Just because there's some individuals in the body of Christ that have abused and tainted and polluted the word of faith message, it does not mean that the truth doesn't exist in the word. Don't you throw out the truth because some charlatan somewhere mishandled it and tried to use it for their own greed. Amen. Because speaking the word of God is what creates all life. It makes everything. It grows. It multiplies. It makes something new in your life. It takes the dead and brings it back to life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And this word is designed to be the light in our spirit. We are designed to carry this word. Are you here today? Amen. Oh, I'm falling more in love with the word the more I read this passage. Because God is his word. And if God is going to create in my life moving forward, I've got to get a hold of his word. I've got to understand it and I've got to receive it. Amen. See, this life is made to live in human beings. We're going to just help you here with some scriptures on the screen. And so could you bring up for me John chapter 6 and verse 63? Remember what Jesus said in John 6, 63 about his words? We'll bring that up for the sake of time. We'll show it to you. And you can jot down these notes. Jesus speaking, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. Who knows what the word quickeneth means? Makes alive. The Holy Ghost, God's spirit, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. Boy, when are we going to learn that? Jesus says, now everyone look at this next statement. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. They're the life of God. If you're wondering where the Holy Ghost, where he takes his cues from, he takes his cues from the word. The Holy Ghost authored the word. He is the word. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they are the word. You can't know his spirit without knowing the word. You can tell when people, they claim to know the Holy Ghost, but they do things that violate God's word. They don't know the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost only and ever agrees with God's word. The word must be preeminent in your life above everything. Amen. The Holy Ghost follows the word. It's not the other way around. All right. The word doesn't try to keep up with the Holy Ghost. Amen. They work together. The spirit follows the word. In the beginning is the word. Go to Hebrews 4:12 if you could bring that up. Just another scripture telling us there's life in this word. Life in this word. Hebrews 4:12. Praise the Lord. It says, for the word of God is quick. Who knows what that word quick means in the King James? Say it. Shout it out. It means alive. You know, if you have a newer translation, can you bring up the Amplified in this verse? I'll tell you what, we can really get to shouting over the Amplified version of this. Amen. Can we bring up the Amplified? Praise the Lord. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. See, that's what God's word is, making it active. What makes God's word active and full of power? Because it's being spoken. Yes. You can memorize the word with your brain and it will never create anything. You could even know every chapter and verse. You could quote every comma in the Bible. All right. But until you speak it boldly with faith, it will lie dormant, inactive, and powerless. So many Christians, they just try to say, well, I'm going to live it on the inside. I'm not going to put it on the outside. If you don't put it on the outside, it is powerless. See, the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing or penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life in the soul and the immortal spirit. It penetrates down to the joints and the marrow of the deepest parts of our nature. It exposes and sifts and analyzes and judges the very thoughts and the purposes of our heart. And that's what I mean. I don't read the word of God, so I read it. I spend time with the Word of God so it reads me. Amen. It will tell me way more about what God wants me to do. Are you getting a hold of this? Bring up Proverbs 4:22 for us. You hear me say this all the time. God's Word is alive. It's full of life. It only grows. It only multiplies. Amen. It only nourishes and feeds. This is talking about God's words. It says, for they, the words of God, are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So notice God's word, it is unstoppable for our spirit, meaning it fills our spirit, but it also strengthens our bodies. Are you here today? Amen. Now go back to John 1. You're still in John chapter 1. Now go to verse 5. Folks, do you believe that the Word of God is alive?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Word is full of life?
Yes.
Do you believe that you are able to carry God's Word in your spirit and in your heart every day?
Yes.
This is the goal of every believer. Amen. And notice, I love verse 5. Here's our answer. It says, in the light. Where's that light? It's the light of men. It's dwelling in our hearts through Jesus Christ. And this light that is in us, it's the light of the Word, that is the life of God, shines in the darkness. How does that light shine in the darkness? It shines through you and me.
Amen.
It shines through the people that carry God's Word, that believe God's Word. All right? But now the rest of this verse is really important to us. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I love that. You know what that means? That word comprehends it not. It literally means cannot apprehend. The word comprehend here is actually the word apprehend, which means to grab or lay hold of. Darkness is the word for evil and destruction. You could say it this way. So when the word is shining in your life, darkness and destruction cannot apprehend you. It cannot lay a hold of you. It cannot destroy you. Amen. It cannot force you down or keep you down. It means it cannot overwhelm you. It means that when the light is shining of God's word, when the light of God's word is shining in your life, it means that darkness cannot win. Amen. Darkness cannot win. I don't know about you, but I'm falling in love with God's word all over again up here, just preaching the word. Amen. We are made to carry the life of God. And that life is found where? In the word. Now go down to verse 10. Let's start getting a hold of this. I'm just giving you some truth here before we make our point. Don't check out on me. I'm going to make the point here soon. Verse 10, look at this. And he, Jesus, the Word, remember, he's still talking about Jesus, the Word. We remember what Revelation 11, 13, or wait, where is that? Can you bring up Revelation 19, 13? The verse, not the year, right? Praise the Lord. Revelation 19, 13, is this the verse? We're going to find out. If I've done my homework good, if I haven't. Yes, this is talking about when Jesus Christ returns. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming soon? The Bible says when he returns, he's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Whoa. Boy, don't preach that too many. Don't see that verse in too many Hallmark cards. That sure isn't the Jesus I see on YouTube. Anyhow, not that I honestly, I don't look for Jesus on YouTube. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name, Jesus' name is what? Called the Word of God. The Word of God. That's his name. That is what he's called. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now go back over here. We're in John 1:10. He, Jesus, the Word, is in the world, and the world was made by him. Are we back over here to John 1:10? Jesus entered the world and he walked upon the earth that he himself created. Isn't that awesome? He's the Word who spoke the earth into existence, and now the Creator walks amongst his own creation. And notice what it says, the world knew him not. the world knew him not. Wow. Imagine those people in those days, they were walking amongst the Creator. Praise the Lord. Here they were. They were totally, you know, walking right next to the very one who created the dirt they were walking on. How amazing is that? How awesome is that? But look at verse 11. He not only came to this earth and the world knew him not, he came to his own. He came to the Jews and his own received him not. Everyone say received. So notice now, the word is not something that we just read. The word isn't something we just hear. The word is something we receive. See, if we fail to receive the word, notice these people that received him not, notice they would have stayed in darkness. Without the word, people remain in darkness. Not just you can read the Bible and still be in darkness. You can memorize the Bible and still be in darkness. Because God did not tell you to read the Bible. He told you to receive his word. That word receive, are you ready? It means to join yourself to something. Join yourself to it. The word receive here means to enter into companionship. Are you here today? Are you a companion of the Word of God? Have you brought it? Is it more than just a book to you? It's not just a religious instruction. It is your companion. You love God's Word. You're in love with God's Word. I love that word, receives. Amen. It means to take unto yourself, to join yourself to. It means to make something your companion. It means to hold. It means never to reject. It sounds very similar to what maybe you might hear at a wedding ceremony, doesn't it? To have, to hold, to never, you know, be disloyal, to never, you know, forsake it. Amen. We bring the Word of God close, near, and dear to us. That's how we receive the Word. Glory to God. There's a lot of Christians that have received God's word for salvation, but they don't continue to receive it. Yeah. Folks, you can receive the word for salvation. Are you here today? Yeah. Don't let me catch you napping. I'm having fun up here. I might just call you out. We'll have some real fun here today. Hallelujah. Well, what does it say over here? It says that, you know, the word should be our companion. Amen. Many Christians have received the word for salvation. They heard it. They believed that. They spoke it out. They wanted salvation. But then what a lot of Christians fail to do is they fail to continue to receive the word of God through meditation. And obviously, it's going to take some reading. They fail to receive the word of God every day through whether being in their local church, through reading the Bible, through speaking the Word of God, through praying the Word. How many of you know we're not just supposed to read the Bible, we're supposed to speak the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Amen. Folks, don't just receive the Word one time or receive the Word of God here and there. You got to receive the Word of God on a regular basis. Because the more you drift away from the Word of God, the more darkness starts to drift back in. The only thing that can keep darkness out of your life is the Word. And the only thing that can create what God wants to do in your life is the Word. The next thing that God wants to do in your life, where's it going to come from? The Word. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And so here's the first point. Are you ready today? This is how God's going to uphold you. Number one, receive and return. Receive and return. Folks, I see a lot of believers who are not actively receiving and returning God's word to him. We might be sitting in church once a week. We might be, you know, reading our Bible here and there. Or maybe we receive the word of God for salvation, but all of a sudden, you know, there's great lengths of time, weeks and months. And God's people are not sitting and fellowshipping with the Word. They're not meditating on it. They're not feeding on it. they're not going in and bowing their knees before God and returning that word back to him. Folks, we're supposed to pray God's word. We're supposed to say God's word. We're supposed to repeat it out loud to ourselves. Amen. We got to receive it and we got to return it. How many of you know that when God gives us the word, he expects it to produce a return or a harvest? Can you bring up, where is that? Isaiah 55:11. Here we go, a scripture that says it point blank. It says it many other ways throughout the Bible, but this just makes it very easy. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. This is what God says about his word. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. This is how it's going to work, God says. He says, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's saying, if I gave you the word, and if you will return it unto me, it will not be empty or powerless. It'll prosper in the reason which it was given. Yes. Hallelujah. But notice this, God gives the word. He's not the one that, he doesn't return it back to himself. Right. Who are the ones that are supposed to return it to him? Yeah. Us. Amen. See, a lot of Christians don't put this process to work in their life. Folks, we've got a fellowship with the word. And it doesn't, folks, I'm not here to put a burden around your neck saying, oh, if you don't read your Bible 3 hours a day or whatever time we would try to put on it. Folks, it's if you're asking, Pastor, how long should I read my Bible every day? Wrong question. Pastor, how many chapters of scripture should I read every day? Wrong question. All right. The question isn't like turning it into a recipe and just, you know, plugging in a certain amount of time. It's why don't you just want to hunger for it and desire God's word? Say, well, Pastor, I'm sorry. I just don't naturally have that hunger and desire. Well, you know why? Because you haven't eaten there enough. You haven't eaten there enough. Where is that scripture? The book of Proverbs says, a full soul loathes a honeycomb. Right? Someone that's filled with other things won't like God's sweet word. It says, but to the hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. Yeah. See, when you get hungry for God, his word is going to be sweet to you. Yeah. And I'm not putting a burden. I tell you what, start out, grab a couple of verses, start speaking them, bow your knees before God and repeat that word. Go and get into your Bible, look up scriptures according to the topic or maybe even some needs in your life and start returning that word back to God. Amen. Number one way that God's going to uphold you is through this process of receive and return. There's people that sit in this church every single Sunday who aren't receiving the word. You might be hearing it, but hearing it alone is not returning it. Returning God's word is that you love it, you receive it, you are an active doer of the word, you speak it, you bring it home, you live it. Amen. 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 And the word starts to prosper in the thing whereunto God sends it. He says, when my word returns to me, it never returns empty, it never is powerless, it is never void, it is never canceled. God says, if you'll return my word, you know, to me, I will, blemish it out. I will not erase it. He said, I'll make sure it prospers that in that thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. But many are maybe receiving, salvation, or they receive the word of God once in a while. Folks, we should be receiving God's word all the time. Now go back over to John chapter 1 and verse 11. It says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But look at verse 12, and this is for the rest of us. It says, but as many as received him, many as received him the word. We don't just receive Jesus once to get born again. We receive him every day. As many as received him, to them he gave power. To those that will receive the word, he gives power. The more receiving, more returning, more power, more receiving, more returning, more power. Are you getting a hold of that? More receiving, more returning, more power. More receiving, more returning, more power comes back into your life. He gave power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Folks, we've got to receive and return the word. Why did I share all those truths? Why were we talking about the life of the word and it's the light of men? It's to get you excited for the word.
Amen.
This is how your life lights up. This is how God lights up your life. This is how God's going to feed you, provide for you. This is how God's going to promote you. This is how you're going to get to know him. This is how you're going to receive his promises, his blessing. Are you here today? Receive and return. Receive and return. Receive and return. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to give you the second thing here today. Say, Pastor, really? We're already to the second and the last point here today? Yep. But does that mean we're fixing to close? No. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Receive and return. Hallelujah. When I get into that word, light is being added to me. Life is being added to me. Life that can't be hurt. Life that can't be destroyed. Say, well, Pastor, does that mean no challenges will come my way? I didn't say that. Remember, Jesus said that the devil's going to challenge you to try to get you away from that word. And actually, that's more where the body of Christ is right now than anywhere else. The church is pressured, and the church is under trial, and churches, you know, I mean, not just organizations, but the body of Christ as a whole is being pressured, tempted, tried, challenged, all these things. And when people get into those challenges, they run away from the very thing that they should run to. It is the word that's going to lift your burden. It is the word that's going to carry you out. It is you speaking God's word, you declaring it. And we're going to talk about that. Go to Hebrews 1. Boy, we're going to get into some stuff here. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love the word. The word is my helper. The word is the light that lives on the inside of me. The word is the power of God for all things in my life, all things in your life. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know any scriptures about anything. That's a problem. See, the Bible says we're supposed to be students. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're supposed to what? Study to show ourselves approved. Folks, if you don't have any personal study time with the word, I'll tell you what, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. So, Pastor, I don't know how. Start somewhere. I got a good idea. Start in the Gospel of John. Start in the book of James. There you go. Start in the book of Proverbs. Amen. It's very simple. Just dig in. Look at Hebrews 1:1. It says, God, who at sundry times, isn't that very poetic? Does anyone know what the word sundry means? I didn't until last night. It means various times. God, who at various times in different manners, he spoke in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But he has in these last days, everyone say last days. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, by whom, by Jesus, God also made the worlds. Plural. Interesting. Worlds. Plural. We're going to talk about worlds. Plural. Ooh, here we go. This is going to get interesting. Go to verse 3. Jesus, who being the brightness of God's glory, Jesus is the express image of God's person, and Jesus upholding all things by the what? Word of his power. When Jesus by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Go back up to verse 2, and we're going to start teaching you here the second thing that you've got to do and understand if God is going to uphold you. Here it is. Are you ready? You need to give the word a living voice in your life. You've got to give God's word a living voice into your life. And we're going to show you this in these scriptures. Notice it says in the last days. Isn't it interesting that the author of Hebrews called it the last days 2,000 years ago? How much more are we in the last days now? In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, that he has appointed heir of all things. By Jesus, God made all the worlds. Let's talk about that for a minute. I'm just going to confess just ahead of time. I might nerd out a little bit in some things I'm about to talk about. But just bear with me. Humor me, all right? Praise the Lord. When it says that God, through the Word, made all the worlds, it is a reference to what we call outer space, all right? I know some of us feel like we're in outer space right now, but that's all right. We're going to bring you back down to earth, right? But it's talking about, yes, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, you know, the galaxies, the universe. What this is referring to is that God is simply saying that by the word, all matter was created. You know, matter is what I'm standing on. Matter is what you're made of. Matter is what that chair you're sitting on is made of, right? Matter is synonymous with substance, the parts of our physical world, right? But it means, you know, the space, the universe, galaxies, planets, sun, moon, stars, all that good stuff. But it also means something else. The term worlds here is the Greek word for ages. God didn't just make and create all matter. God created all the ages. Here's something that we don't think about. We think of creation as just being a physical creation. Here comes the nerd. Are you ready? All right. And I'm not talking about my son who has to leave to go. It just so happened he had to get up and use the restroom. Is it okay to have a little fun in church here today? I'm talking about myself, the nerd that gets into this stuff. God didn't just create all matter. All right. All physical things. God also created time. Do you know and understand that he is the creator of time? Time is a created thing. We don't think about that. You know, time did not exist before God created it, because the Bible says he's eternal. He's never lived in time. He never will live in time. He made time. And he made matter to travel not just through space, but he made matter to travel through time as well. Folks, what we don't know, what we don't realize, and I know I'm going to get real scientific on you. Bear with me, all right? I was a fourth grade science teacher at one point in my life, all right? And that's not saying much. It's never been my strong suit. My dad is really a brilliant scientific thinker, and I may have gotten just a crumb of that, all right? But time, you know, time is a created thing. We don't think of time as being created, but know this, God made matter to move through both space and time, all right? What we don't understand, we think, you know, the materials that created that chair or the wood that came from the trees to build our building, those were created by God. You know, that's matter. He made, you know, those physical things. But folks, we have to know and understand, he made not just the physical objects. He made the space in between the objects. Space is created by God. See, when the theory of you know, the Big Bang Theory, which there was a Big Bang, by the way, God said it and bang, it happened. That's what happened. But what they figured, they said, you know what? At some point, the universe was completely this big empty space, and the universe had two atoms in it bouncing around, and somewhere in the eternal past, those two atoms collided, created a nuclear explosion, And then fission and fusion and all that stuff created all the matter in the universe, okay? And then, of course, the first question is, where did the two atoms come from? But that's not even the deepest question. Where did the space come from for them even to exist? Space, we think it's nothing, but space itself. The distance between me and Pastor Brad is a created thing. The distance between the Earth and the sun is a created thing. The distance between our galaxy and the nearest galaxy to us is Andromeda. There's a space in between. God made the space. He made matter to move through space and through time. Do you understand that? You are a being. Your body is matter that I'm moving through space right now. This Earth is moving through space and time. Its movement is based on time. We get 1 year because it moves through space. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Oh, hold on. Bear with me. Say, what is he talking about? Folks, there's a lot going on in our universe. You know, have you ever heard of, what is that called? Did I write it down? I don't think I did. It's okay. It's just something that, you know, is fun, and we look at these things. Oh, praise the Lord. I did write it down. Has anybody ever heard of something called the Fermi paradox? Everyone bear with me. Everyone ready for it? Well, this isn't fourth grade science. The Fermi paradox, spelled F-E-R-M-I, named after a gentleman that thought of this. The Fermi paradox is simply this. Hold on, everybody. Some of you are wanting to check out. You think that I've digressed and I'm way off track. Oh, no. We're going to reel you back with this. The Fermi paradox is this idea that simply humanity came up with this idea. We live in a great paradox. And it's in our galaxy alone, the Milky Way galaxy, scientists have figured out there is somewhere between 100 and 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. They have also now, we have looked with these big telescopes and we've looked deep into our universe, and now we mathematically can predict that there are somewhere between 1 and 2 trillion galaxies. Galaxies each with at least 400 to 500 billion stars, and each star may have anywhere between 1 and several planets in its system, which would mean trillions upon trillions of other planets that are in our universe. And so mathematically, they've looked up there and they have figured out that there should mathematically, even in our own galaxy, our galaxy should be filled with other civilizations. Mathematically speaking, we should have tons of activity and life and civilizations in our own galaxy if, you know, they think that their science is correct. But then what happens, so the Fermi paradox says this, why do we have a mathematical certainty of so much alien life in our galaxy, but zero evidence? The Fermi paradox is just simply this. It's a question about our own existence. Where is everybody? Where is everybody? How come our galaxy is empty of all life? Well, then, boy, have you? I know you probably haven't read on this stuff lately. That's okay. I'm just having fun. You know, the internet can be a dangerous place. Watch out. All right. So recently, we are trying to figure out how our universe works. Because scientists, as brilliant as they are, just when they think they've got the answer, it all falls apart. But recently, we have discovered now that our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is sitting right in the middle of a big, round, circular, sphere-shaped void in space. It is almost by itself. Meaning there's a void, and this void is called the KBC void. And the void where our galaxy is sitting almost by itself is 2 billion light years across. And for some reason, all the rest of the universe is tightly packed.
But our section of it, our galaxy, is sitting in the middle of this big void. And we can't figure out. When scientists figured out that we're sitting in this big void, it totally brought our understanding of the universe all the way back to square one. We don't know. And the one thing that is troubling scientists, we finally have the technology. We have built these huge radio telescopes. These radio telescopes can now beam radio signals all the way to one end of our galaxy and all the way back. And these radio telescopes can not only beam radio signals, they can hear any form of artificial power or energy. Radio signals are some of the most basic forms of any technological civilization, all right? And we set up these big, you know, we basically built these huge ears to our galaxy. And we thought we were going to hear all these civilizations out there. And guess what came back? Nothing. And that's where the Fermi paradox is. Where is everyone? Because if there was even one civilization that was as technologically advanced as we are, if there were UFOs, if there was any form of made energy, we would detect it by now. And it's empty. Pastor, why is that? Pastor, are you saying that there's no alien life? I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. The Bible says that all of creation, longs for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of Almighty God. In the Bible, when you see God's throne, it is surrounded by 24 other thrones. And who is sitting on those thrones? We are. Human beings that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it very clear. In the beginning was the heavens and the earth. The earth is unique. The earth is set apart. The Bible says that God made all the rest of it to show us the truth about something. Here's the truth. Go to verse 3. Why all the nerd facts today? Why all the galaxies and voids and all this stuff? Jesus is the express brightness of God's glory, the image of his person, and Jesus Christ is upholding all things with the word of his power. We thought we knew the constant of the speed of light, the theory of relativity, the way to go, Einstein, E equals MC squared, except all of a sudden we studied and Einstein was wrong. We thought that light always traveled at 186,000 miles per second. But now, we now know that light doesn't always travel at the same speed. Gravity can bend or make light heavy. How would you add weight to a light beam? Gravity can do it. It's called a black hole. You ever heard of that before? Right? Time is not always constant. Do you know that gravity can move time slower or faster? So if you were on let's take a mass, a planet that has much greater mass than we are. Let's say you find a planet that is a solid planet like Earth, but it's 10 times the mass. That time will be sped up by its gravity or by its motion of turning on its axis. See, Pastor, why are you talking about all this? Space, matter, time, galaxies, planets, voids, all this stuff. Because when human beings cannot figure it out with this, we looked in the Bible and the answer was sitting there the whole time. How is all this working? Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. That word is keeping all the ages, all of time intact. It's keeping every solar system, every galaxy, holding our planet in perfect place. How is God doing it all? Through his word. Are you here today? Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm trying to expand your mind and your heart to think if this God who has this word that keeps 2 trillion galaxies in order all at the same time, who puts that same word on the inside of my heart, I should never be worried or concerned ever again. Are you here?
Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You're taking it too far. No, no, no.
He will uphold your life. His word will uphold your life by the word of his power. God will uphold your health by the word of his power. God will uphold your children. God will uphold your marriage by the word of his power. God will uphold your very relationship with him by the word of his power. Glory to God.
Say, Pastor, why all this talk about space and time and matter? It confuses us. It's meant to.
Because just when we think we're so smart, we've got it figured out, someone discovers something. No, guys, this changes all the rules. Do you realize? Now we've gone back to square one. We don't know how the universe works.
I do.
Do you? I know how it's working. God's upholding it. You know, I've heard these testimonies of astronauts that became Christians once they got into space and they looked back down on the earth and they said, how is the earth just suspended like that? God's upholding it with his power. God can uphold your mortgage payment with the word of his power. God can uphold your marriage. So what do you do now? You've got to give his word a living voice. Notice the term word here. When he upholds all things by the word of his power, it literally means his living voice. His living voice. Are you here today? If God has a living voice, let's ask ourselves, do you have a living voice? Amen. So now, first of all, we talked about receiving and returning the word. This is how God upholds everything in your life with the word of his power. You've got to go get his word, find his word, give it a living voice and speak it out. And he starts to uphold that area in your life. Isn't that how you got saved? Is he upholding your salvation with the word of his power? Why can't, if he can uphold your salvation with the word of his power, why can't he uphold your finances? Why can't he uphold your health? The living voice of God. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't know. I'm dealing with things in my body, sickness. Well, I'm here to tell you that God's got a lot of word in here about that. How about Exodus 23, 25? He says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and water, and he will take all sickness from your midst. If you'll take that verse, put it in your heart, and start speaking that out, guess what? Your health is going to be upheld by the word of his power. How about Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Quoting that, believing that, receiving that, God starts, remember, that word now is going to start profiting that area of your life. Amen. Amen. God is upholding our health by the word of his power. What about your kids? What if you start speaking over your kids? How about Isaiah 54, 13? And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. What if you start speaking that over your kids? That word will uphold your children. How about Psalm 112, verse 2? Your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. What about your needs or your finances or your material needs and so on? How about Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Well, I tell you what, some of you look like you don't care. The more you don't care, the more darkness does. We're like, well, I don't, Pastor, I don't know in these scriptures like you do. Darkness is coming. I don't know this, Pastor. I don't ever quote a verse over my health. I don't quote any verses. I don't talk this way to God. You better return it. You better talk to him about his word. Hallelujah. I do not go to God and start blurbering about all the things that I need. I go to God and start quoting his word. It returns to him. It glorifies him. It isn't about all my needs. It's simply this. Lord God, if I speak your word, it's going to uphold whatever area I'm believing for. Amen. We believe for finances, right? Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be provision in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase. Verse 10, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Boy, it sure is quiet in here. Pastor, why are you saying all this? Because those verses coming out of your mouth is going to withhold every area in your life. Pastor, what about my marriage? You know, how about, where is that? Proverbs 18:22. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. Come on, ladies, amen. Right? Praise the Lord. That's a marriage scripture. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, we could go to Ephesians chapter 5, and there's a lot of marriage scriptures over there. You know, there, oh boy, I don't know if we want to read these ones. My wife says, Proverbs 5:18, you bring it up, Proverbs 5:18. What is that? Talking about your wife, the Bible says, let your fountain be blessed. Amen. Isn't it interesting that the wife is called the fountain, meaning that she brings good to her husband's life? Proverbs 5:18. Guys, you want to make sure that your wife is blessed. Oh, praise the Lord. Let your fountain be blessed and what? Rejoice with the wife of your youth. A husband and well, I'll tell you what, there's something about this, the Holy Ghost. A husband and wife should be rejoicing together. They should be praising together and stop fighting with each other. It doesn't say fight with the wife of your youth. It didn't say bicker. Prove her wrong. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. I don't know if we dare read the next verse. Oh man, it'll get steamy in here. I'm gonna blush. Who wants to read it? My wife. Well, bring up verse 19. This is for married people, everybody. If you are not married, this verse does not belong to you. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and be ravished always with her love. Absolutely. Every marriage should have passion. It should have excitement. Are you here? And if your marriage doesn't look like this here today, well, there's a scripture that you need to be quoting in prayer. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I tell you what, I'm not ashamed. You know, the fact that I'm attracted to my wife, and for some great miracle, she's attracted to me. I don't know how it happened. Praise the Lord. You say, well, God's not in the physical part of marriage. Yes, he is. He is. Anyway, before I really get embarrassed, let's move along. But I'm telling you, that's the word of God's power for your marriage. I quoted several verses, the word of power for your kids, for your finances, for your health. So, well, Pastor, I don't go into the word like that. You better start. So, Pastor, I've drifted away from that. You better get back. See, this is what faith is. Faith is a constant, you know, speaking of God's word. This is how the word, this is how it's your companion. I love this thing. I love the Lord. This is my companion. This is the light of my life. And if I'll just speak it and believe it, that's why we just keep on speaking that, you know, we're calling every man, woman, and child out of the darkness and into the light of it. And then JCR goes out, and now we've got dozens more this year. How many hundreds more will come in this year in 2025? We keep saying 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. How about your home? Is it paid in full? Start declaring that. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that eat it, those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Right? A man shall eat good by the words of his mouth. Proverbs 13:2. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, right around the 34th verse, somewhere in that neighborhood. He said, for by your words you will be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned. Can we bring up James 3:10? This verse just came to me. This came to me last night. Can you bring up James chapter 3 and verse 10? We'll end right here. He says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things should not be so. God is saying you could just be speaking blessing. See, The Bible's also very sober. It's letting us know, and I think we all know this, none of us speak right all the time. But I tell you what, the more we work on that, the more we take God's word, and the more we build it into our heart, the more we start speaking it, the more God can do in our life. The more God can do in our life. You know, this didn't happen here, but it happened last night in the Erie service, but I believe it's also an instruction for this church here. When I was getting ready to conclude service last night in Erie, the Holy Ghost said emphatically, loud, authoritatively, he said, write it down. Wow. He said, write it down. And it caught me off guard, and I know what he means. Folks, write down what you need, meaning go to God, take it, what you're believing for, write it down, write down a verse right there with it, and start praying it. And go before God and bring that before him. Set it there before him. Go to your knees. Lift these things up and start declaring that word in your time with God. Write it down. What does that tell us? He wants to move in our lives. God, the Bible says he hastens to perform his word. God wants to move and perform his word. It is the light of your life. It's the strength of your life. It is your absolute number one companion in life. So many of the current struggles in the body of Christ are simply this. We've walked away from light and darkness has crept in. That's where it is. That's exactly where it is. Darkness is getting back into people's lives because they've put this down. We've picked up everything else. Did you get some help here today? God loves you. I'll tell you what, this word is the light of men. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. This is how you uphold our lives. We receive and return the word. And two, we give the word a living voice. Lord God, my mind doesn't understand it. I can't explain the universe. I can't explain our galaxy. I can't explain the trillion galaxies that are out there. I don't understand any of that. But Lord, I thank you that you don't call us to explain it. You call on us to believe it. Father, I believe that you are upholding all the matter in the universe with the word of your power. I believe, Father God, that you are upholding all ages with the word of your power. I believe you're upholding all eternity with the word of your power. So I believe you are upholding my life by the word of your power. Your word is capable and able to uphold my salvation. It is capable to uphold my relationship with you. Your word is able to uphold my health. My mind, your word is able to uphold my thinking, uphold my marriage, uphold my kids, uphold this church. Why would we ever be worried again? Father, the creator of all things, the creator of time, the creator of space, the creator of all things, Lord, and you have decided to put this same light that holds everything together, you've decided to put it on the inside of us. We don't have to ever worry ever again. Yeah, we'll be challenged, but we don't have to be worried ever again. This is the answer. This is the answer for our marriage. Write it down. Return that word to God about your marriage, and he'll uphold your marriage. Return that word about your kids. Return that word about your health and your body. Return that word about your financial situation. Return that word of God's goodness and God's glory and God's peace. Return it to him. And he'll work in those areas in your life. Father, we just thank you and we praise you with all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Before we dismiss here today, have you received the word of God into your hearts? Have you received God's word for salvation? And I know we have mostly a family group here today, but you know what? I don't know everybody in the room right now. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Everyone, please ask yourself this question, just within your heart. Ask yourself, am I saved? Have my sins been washed by the blood of Jesus? Have I acted upon that verse? Have I confessed him as my Lord and Savior? Have I invited him and believed upon him to come into my heart? Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hell is real. But I've got good news. Heaven is real. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. You can make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Have your sins washed and cleansed. If that's you here today, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to embarrass you or make you come down front or send somebody after you. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to receive this same Jesus Christ that's even been rejected by so many. I want to receive him. I want to receive Jesus as the Word of God. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'm going to lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and invite Jesus into your life. If that's you, can you lift your hand now, please? If you're here and you say, Pastor, I want my sins to be washed. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that you say, Pastor, I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Say, Pastor, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. God loves you. Is there anyone else? If you go ahead and just lift your hand. The lifting of the hand is not what saves you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment, and you're going to talk to God and put your faith in him. God loves you. Anyone else before we pray that you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Let's go ahead and pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray this prayer. Speak these words out of your mouth. Talk to God. Don't just think it in your mind. He will hear you. Let's go ahead and pray. Everyone say this with me. Mean it with your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it wonderful to see souls coming into the kingdom of God? Amen, it's the greatest thing we could ever experience. Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. I appreciate everyone being patient today. We had a wonderful JCR review, and we appreciate you being patient and being so attentive to the Word of God. Let's give him all the glory and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just praise you today. We worship you. You are holy and good. And Father God, we all together, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.